Hello and welcome to lesson number 10 as we are determining here to understand the New Testament timeline where we look at the difference in the transitional period between the Old Testament law and the age of the local church. The last lesson we left off in Acts chapter 8, and those in Samaria had received the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to read these verses and see this is a very not an easy portion of Scripture to understand. It says, "Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost." Now, again, if they've already received the word of God, how does this fit in here? Verse 16 says, "For as yet he," that is the Holy Spirit, "was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost." Now, since the Samaritans had received the word of God, and since Philip was preaching the gospel concerning individuals being saved, how is it that after they were saved, Peter and John prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost? Now, in Acts chapter 8, the gift was given for special service to Christians. Let's read it here. Verse 18, "And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money." Now, this portion of Scripture is not referring to the working of the Holy Ghost by which a person is quickened who is dead in trespasses and in sins. People have never been saved by the laying on of hands. The gift of the Holy Spirit power was given to Christians here for service in this transitional period. In Acts chapter 10, we read God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What for? He went about doing good and healing all. Even Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit for this special service. The gift of the Holy Spirit power was given to Christians during the transitional period between the dispensation of the law and the local church ages for the purpose of signs and wonders. Consider these verses, Hebrews chapter 2 and 4, "God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and divers or many miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will." The gift of the Holy Ghost for signs, wonders, and miracles. Acts chapter 2 and 43, "Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." In chapter 4, we read, "Signs and wonders may be done." They were praying for that. In chapter 5, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people." And then in Acts 14, they were granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. In Romans 15 and 19, it talks that through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 12:12, we read, "Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in signs and in wonders and in mighty deeds." The apostles received power from the Holy Spirit concerning signs and concerning wonders. Here's a few more verses. Acts 2:43, "Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." Acts 4:30, "They prayed that signs and wonders may be done." Verse 31, "They were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And then in Acts 5:12, "And by the laying on, by the hands of the apostles were signs and wonders wrought among the people." And so we read in Acts 8 and 25, and they, that is Peter and John, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now remember, this is the same Peter and John who were told in Matthew 10 to go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. They, however, like Jesus in John chapter 4, were not preaching about Israel's kingdom to the Samaritans. When preaching the plan of salvation, Peter and John knew there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. That word Greek has been translated Gentile 7 times. One of them is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so in this transitional period in the early part of the book of Acts, it is very important to determine, are they preaching the message that was for the kingdom of Israel and only for the kingdom of Israel, which had to do with their Messiah and their kingdom being set up and the Romans being kicked out and bondage that they were under would be over? That was one message. Or were they speaking about being saved so as to go to heaven and focusing on the local church? Now, as we get into Acts chapter 8 here, we see the gospel, the good news of salvation, being presented to one man. It says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. That is so important. Arise and go. He arose and went. And behold, a man, one man, of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. What happened here? Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. Now what happens? Is there a bunch of signs and wonders here? No, he's reading this Old Testament prophecy about when Jesus would be crucified. It says, verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or of another man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He is preaching the gospel message of trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, possible because of what Jesus did on the cross. We read in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Believe what? Believe what Isaiah the prophet said about the Son of God being crucified. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Now we're focusing on preaching the gospel that has to do with people being saved and trusting Christ as their Savior. And so the conclusions from Acts chapter 8, Saul, who's later to be named Paul, appears in the book of Acts for the first time. He is causing a lot of persecution for God's people. Philip travels to Samaria with the plan of salvation for individuals, nothing to do with the plan of for the nation of Israel concerning their kingdom. Philip is referred to as an evangelist or the evangelizer. Peter and John came to Samaria and laid their hands on the new converts that they may be empowered for service. Philip takes the plan of salvation to the eunuch out there in the wilderness. Philip then moves on, being faithful concerning his duty to evangelize. Local church doctrine is beginning to come into focus in this chapter. In Acts chapter 9, it brings us to a major turning point in the book of Acts. The focus has been on Peter and his ministry concerning the nation of Israel. The focus has been on the temple and the synagogue. The focus is now changing to what Christians are doing in their local churches. Saul of Tarsus had a goal to put a stop to those meetings. He took part in Stephen being martyred in chapter 7, and now he goes after the believing Jews in Damascus. And so we'll continue in lesson number 11 on understanding the New Testament timeline. Next program, we'll be looking in Acts chapter 9. Be sure and be with us.